Welcome to The Lob, your home of in-depth coverage and analysis by These Football Times, a movement of journalism you can trust. Each week, we endeavour to bring you the very best coverage of the game, exploring stories from the past and present with analysis by expert guests from around the world. Find more of our award-winning content online and in print. In the meantime, enjoy the podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Lob podcast with These Football Times. And I'm delighted to say we're in part 6 of 7 of The Final Word. Gary, your series, your brainchild, and we're already practically, well, at the penultimate episode of your baby. How do you think it's gone so far?
I think I'm really well, mate. We've had a number of different types of game. Games where there's controversy around the game itself. Games where the football's been the main feature. We've had World Cups, we've had FA Cup finals, and we've got another first today in the series as we go into the Scottish Cup final.
Yeah, we are definitely venturing north of the border. I think this is probably our most northerly final so far.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, must be. Yeah. I don't think we've got one coming up for the Iceland Cup final, so I think we'd probably say that's probably will be the one that retains that title.
All right. Stephen, looking forward to the most northerly cup final so far of this series?
Yes, I am. This is a bit left field for us, although it shouldn't be. But yeah, this has taken a little bit more research than the 1970 World Cup finals in so many respects. But no, massively looking forward to this. It's a cracking story, and you know, so different for Scottish football as well in the Scottish Cup final. You know, certainly from a, you know, south of the border, from that perspective, you know, anything that that doesn't have the clammy grasp of Celtic or Rangers on it when it comes to a Scottish Cup final is something to be absolutely adored.
I was just about to say, as you started chatting, then obviously it doesn't when you watch the pictures, but it has a real feel of a real throwback sort of final. You know, to me, just the names, everything.
It definitely does. I mean, like me and you, Stu, and Gary will know it as well. You know, from that generation of the cup final being absolutely massive, it was never an afterthought. You know, for so many players, it was the biggest moments of their career. You know, it was kind of like akin to a wedding day or, you know, the birth of a child. You know, there's always like the big story of a certain player that might be injured or suspended or whatever it was. You know, there'd always be some kind of backstory, a million backstories behind these types of things. But, you know, it was even when, you know, we'd watch a cup final and they'd have the cameras on the coach and stuff like that, and they'd go to the players' hotels and all that type of stuff, and that big, massive build-up. And then eventually there was some kind of tipping point where it just stopped being that important to players. You know, it was just... You know, I can remember like the 2001 FA Cup final and the English FA Cup final and going down to Cardiff. Wonderful day as a supporter. But, you know, Gerard Houllier rested Gary McAllister, you know, for the UEFA Cup final during the week, you know, 4 days later. And that just kind of like, it just wasn't right. You know, this isn't, you know, a domestic cup final should never be an afterthought. And they have been made to become an afterthought. You know, stuff like, you know, having kickoffs at 5:15 on a Saturday, probably the least thoughtful weekend kickoff time, you know, there is. You know, it's stuff like having the cup final on a day when there's still a full league programme and stuff like that. No, it needs to be like a standalone game. It needs to have its own special edge to it. And for this 2015 Scottish Cup final, it had that in buckets. Because it really was the biggest day of these players' careers. You know, this was, you know, as you say, that true kind of you know, flashback to an era that got you know, suddenly, you know, bigger prizes that shouldn't, you know, diminish from a domestic cup final. Yes, winning a league title is always going to be, you know, the marathon, as they say. You know, a cup, you know, is different, you know, with so many variables on it. There's luck, there's, you know, everything, you know, it's just things falling into place along the way. You know, a cup can be lost in 20 bad minutes, 20 poor minutes of football. you know, you can be undone. That's never the case in winning a league title. You know, you can have two or three off days here and there and you still go and win it. But yeah, this truly was a blast back cup final.
I've got to say, obviously, before we come to our sort of special guest, you know, we have a great, which is a good job, to be fair, that we have a good guest, because I'm going to say the three of us between us couldn't name anyone from the starting lineups here. But just one thing before, and again, it's something else that when I was watching it back, and that's the Scottish FA Cup itself as a trophy just adds to that.
It's spectacular.
That throwback. It is such a beautiful trophy, and you look at it as a standalone piece, and it just screams history.
It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it's like, you know, it's kind of similar to the original English FA Cup trophy as well, which, you know, I've always preferred. You know, yes, you know, watching the FA Cup final as a kid, you know, the FA Cup, English FA Cup is the trophy that it is. But even that, you know, the one they hand out now isn't the one that they were handing back out, you know, out in the 80s. It actually looks smaller to me than the old version was. In that same way that you might walk into a shop, buy a chocolate bar, look at it and think, that's a lot smaller than I remember as a kid. You know, that's the English FA Cup. But the Scottish Cup trophy remains the same. It is just its own beautiful self. The only one stipulation I have for the Scottish Cup is that it needs lifting with one hand. So it's kind of like one hand up and the other one saluting the crowd, Willie Miller style. That's what it needs to be done. You know, I'm always disappointed if the Scottish Cup is lifted with two hands. No, it needs to be one hand held by the stem of it. Rules in football, and these must be adhered to.
Brilliant. So
I can't believe we've started by discussing that the FA Cup trophy has been diminished by inflation.
And that's it.
It's like the football and whisper. It's so much smaller than
the wagon wheel.
Oh, the wagon wheel. Yeah.
Oh dear me. There's nothing like putting the world to rights, is there, through football. And chocolate. We should obviously introduce a special guest. Like I say, this is the guy who's actually going to inform the next sort of 45 minutes and 95% of this podcast. So it's kind of important that we get him on while we just judge the beautifulness of different domestic trophies. Our guest is somebody who is actually the sort of technical wizard behind our podcasts. He's been on the podcast before, but without him, well, I think it's safe to say we'd be lost. Let's put it that way. So sort of stepping up to the mic rather than dealing with our disasters from the mic, Mr. Lewis Henderson, to chat about the 2015 Scottish FA Cup final between Inverness Caledonian Thistle and Falkirk. Lewis, welcome.
Thank you, Stu. And you couldn't have introduced me any better than that. So I will take that every day of the week.
We owe you far more. Don't worry about that. I could have spent an hour just chatting about how many times you've bailed us out of stuff. Don't worry about that. But obviously tonight, you know, you're here to chat about football and if my internet goes down to rescue it. So obviously there's two dual responsibility for you tonight. However, primary responsibility is obviously to chat about this Scottish Cup final. And I suppose, you know, it's the same question that we ask, you know, every time. Yes, it's episode number 6. So 5 finals had technically already been picked, but you have all the finals in all of world football. And you've gone with the 2015 Scottish FA Cup final, which is fine. There's not judging in any way. But why that final?
Well, you ask what can you do to repay me for what I do on the podcast? And that's let me talk about Inverness for any given period of time, because it is so rare that I get to have a conversation about Inverness without anyone stopping me, especially this game, because As an Inverness fan, this game is my favourite game of football of all time. So when Gary was suggesting the series, I was like straight away, I was like, I don't know if they're going to go for this because this is so obscure. But if they do, I am grasping this opportunity with two hands to talk about Inverness. So obviously we'll talk about Falkirk too, but foremost for me, it's definitely talking about Inverness. And I mean, the reason that this game means so much to me is because, like, as an Inverness fan, this was in the, as you mentioned, the 2015 season. And 2015 was what I would describe as Inverness's finest season ever. And it's almost not even close compared to this season. For those who don't know, we're such a young club. We were formed in 94 from the merger. And since then, we've been in the Premiership, Scottish Premiership, but we spent a fair amount of time in the Championship as well. This season was very much the culmination of some good work after years and years at the club, where we were sort of finishing in the top half of the Scottish Premiership. But this season, we finished third in the Scottish Premiership, which gives you Europa League qualification in the qualifying rounds at least. And we won the Scottish Cup, which is, of course, this game we're going to talk about. And that for me has been the most fun season that I will ever have watching as an Inverness fan. Obviously, not being an Old Firm club, you can't expect to aim any higher than finishing third in the league and winning a domestic cup. And it was put so well by you all sort of in the preamble at the start. The Scottish Cup is absolutely amazing. It means so much up here, especially not to like the Old Firm clubs. It means so much. It's a lot of clubs only chance that in the League Cup of silverware in a season. And it does still hold that importance, which I do think is lost in the FA Cup. And for me, watching my favourite Inverness squad ever lift that football doesn't get better than that. Obviously, as we've gone on, Scotland have qualified for the Euros this summer, and that pitted it pretty close. But I think this game will still remain my favourite moment in football.
Gary, I'll come to you first, I guess. You know, and obviously what we've not told Lewis is there was actually another six people wanted to do this game, but we chose Lewis. But, you know, in terms of, like you say, you know, it was all about cup finals, but surely there's got to be two reasons, I suppose. One is when it's your team, when your team are involved in it, that's obviously one thing. But when it's your most favourite game of all time, you don't need another reason, I guess.
Of course you don't. And one of the things about this series was I wanted all different types of finals. We've had World Cup finals and Champions League finals. But, you know, a different final means just as much to a supporter of a club, be it a playoff final or, you know, the data systems cup final, whatever. It, you know, if it's your team, it means that much more. And you can just tell in Lewis's tone that this is by far his most favourite game. And, you know, as he said, Inverness Caledonian Thistle were a young club, and this was their first trophy, I believe, first major trophy, well, first FA Cup, Scottish FA Cup final. And, watching the game today, it wasn't off a bad game either. It could have gone either way. There was goals, there was sending offs, there was controversy. So it's going to be nice to chat through this game.
It is. And I suppose, you know, just sort of coming to you, Stephen, you know, we sort of talked about everything at the beginning, and Lewis mentioned it again, how important, you know, the Scottish Cup final is, and perhaps, you know, how north of the border it still may be taken as it should be and valued as much as it should be. But the other thing that we didn't actually chat about is obviously the venue for this final as well, and, you know, and how important Hampden Park is in terms of Scottish history and the heritage of football as well. It's almost like, I am envious of the Scottish Cup final as an entity as whole. I mean, like you say, we talk about our FA Cup finals, and you always got the half-time goals, if there'd been any, about half-time in the English Cup final. So, you know, if it was 0-0 in England, you'd hope there's been goals in Scotland, so you'd at least have something to watch at half-time. But it, like you said, the Scottish FA Cup final just seems to be frozen in time compared to the FA Cup final. And that's right down to the trophy, the value that it's placed on it, the venue. Everything just seems to be as it should be.
Yep, it is. You know, I think with the Scottish Cup, you know, there's still always that very real chance that Celtic will run away with it. You know, Rangers are coming back now. But within that, there's still that possibility that anyone can win it. You know, at least two or three times a decade, you know, someone else comes along and wins it. And that's one of the greatest level playing fields in modern domestic British football is the Scottish Cup. You know, this run that Inverness had, you know, they took Celtic out of it in the semi-finals, you know, in spectacular fashion. You know, that late winner from Dave Raven. And that's, you know, I remember Dave Raven as a Liverpool player. I must have watched all of his four performances for Liverpool. One of them at White Hart Lane on a mad night, League Cup game on Wednesday night, when it was virtually a reserve Liverpool side that beat a full-strength Tottenham side, and he put in a wonderful performance. So I know the hidden, or the shield, the talents of David Raven, you know, who could have being a player at a top-end Premier League football club. Very talented lad was Dave Raven. Recently played for Marine against Spurs in the FA Cup. Still going now, knocking around playing football. Missed that final. This is the thing, that it just has that propensity to throw in, a team from left field almost. It's very, very different that if Celtic or Rangers can't win it, there's no handbrake on anyone else winning it. Yes, it could be Aberdeen. Yes, it could be Hearts. You look at Hibs. Hibs didn't win it for so long until they won it, a couple of years back. Dundee United used to have those perpetual failures in that were epic. St Mirren winning it in 87, I remember that. When Dundee United were heavy favourites. Motherwell beating them in the final as well, an absolutely storming game, 4-3. There's so many opportunities in this competition for a team to come through from nowhere to win it. If Celtic and Rangers fall flat on the face, then it's someone else to come along and pick up the baton is just a wonderful thing. And there's no comparison to the English game there and the English version of it. Who have been looking at winning the FA Cup in recent years? When was the last time an outsider won? Portsmouth, well over a decade ago now, and they were the first team that you would call an outsider winning it for 20 years. It's mad that the English FA Cup, although we say it's something that is something of an afterthought now for the biggest clubs, it's only the biggest clubs that ever win it, which is part of what makes it so lamentable in a way, or so neglected. But it's still partitioned off. You've lost that opportunity of anyone could go and win it, but the Scottish Cup final remains within that spirit.
Two questions for you first, Lewis. The first one is being the supporter of a new club or a young club. I mean, obviously, Gary and Stephen, Liverpool and Chelsea fans. But in terms of being a supporter of a new club, how does that feel? I don't know if that's the right question, but if you weren't supported anyone else, I'm not actually sure what I'm asking you, if I'm honest. I think I'm asking you, I can't even ask you, does it feel different because you want now? It's all you've ever supported. Just what's it like? That's all I've got.
Well, the issue for me is that Inverness are older than me. So the club is older than me just. So I've always known it as, I've always known it as Inverness Caledonian Fist. I had to go back and look at the merger beforehand between the two clubs. But I think it does make us one of the more fascinating stories. I mean, our rise is quite impressive, I like to think. And the fact that we consolidated ourselves as a Premiership side for a long time is no mean feat. And you look at, especially in the way in Scottish football, clubs often fall to the side. We had obviously Gretna in the past. It is very easy for sides to fall to the wayside, but we've very much been consistent in terms of once we got to that position of Premiership, we stayed there for quite a while. We're back down in the Championship now, and we have had stints in the past, but I think for a small club from Inverness, which is obviously rural Highlands realistically, I think what we've done since 1994 is incredibly impressive. And I think we'll touch on it, but you look at another club, for example, from up north here, Scotland, St Johnstone, who they've been around for well over 100 years, and they only won their first Scottish Cup on, I believe it was the 125th anniversary, whereas we did it and we hadn't even been a club for 25 years. So I think the way our clubs run and just where we've come from, I think is incredibly impressive.
It's like I say, I know we've got off topic, I'm really sorry. Do fans of, let's say, you just mentioned St Johnstone there. I mean, that there's names of Scottish clubs that just roll off the tongue, and Falkirk is one of them. But do fans of other clubs look at Inverness, differently? Do they think of the supporters of the club differently, or is it still just you're just kind of part of it and part of the Scottish football scene?
I don't think they do, because we started in the lower league, so it's not like we were unjustly put there, and it's not like a MK Dons situation or anything. Like, there was no controversy around it. So I think people are quite happy with Inverness as we are, and we're a non-confrontational club, really. I would like to think, but I mean, Celtic fans will disagree, because as I'm sure we'll touch on it, the semi-final versus Celtic, there was a lot of heat put in there. And obviously we've had the scalps with Celtic in the past, the Super Cali, Go Ballistic, Celtic are atrocious. So I don't think Celtic fans are too fond of us. But out with that, I don't think we're too disliked in Scottish football.
Okay. That, I mean, obviously we'll come back to, I'll come back to you in just one sec about sort of the roots that the club's got there. And obviously we'll spend plenty of time on the Celtic game. But Gary, you know, your sort of thoughts, opinions on new clubs, as it were?
I think, you know, if you've got a situation, Lewis, where the fans of one of the top clubs in the country don't like you, that's something to celebrate, mate. Nothing to worry about, kiddo, because you should be upsetting these guys. And, you know, when you say new club, it's not actually a new club because it's an amalgam of two clubs that existed previously. So, I mean, it's not like they were sort of come out of nowhere anyway. And as Lewis said, you know, they came in at the bottom of the league pyramid and worked their way up. So they didn't get any free gimmies because they're a new club. And I guess, you know, because of Lewis's tender years, you know, the club's older than him, so they probably don't feel new anyway. No. You know, and, you know, I think it's good to have a team from, you know, from the Inverness area because you don't want to the trophies being settled into the lowlands of Scotland, you know, around Glasgow anyway. And it was great that, you know, I was looking at the road to the final, as it were, early today. I was watching the game, and as the guys had mentioned earlier, you know, they knocked Celtic out in the semi-final, so that ain't no easy path to get there. So, but not only do they earn their position in the league structure, they earn their position in this final as well.
And, you know, I suppose, you know, before we get on to this cut run, Stephen, just for you, I guess, you know, like you say, an amalgamation, a club that's, like you say, however we want to word this, but I suppose in some respects it does give clubs almost a second chance at how to run themselves effectively and hopefully sort of avoid some of the errors that clubs have made in the dim and distant past and, you know, leading up to it. I guess it's a chance to sort of take what you've learned and hopefully learn the lesson. You know, like Lewis said there, it's a very inoffensive club. It's, you know, Lewis is well run, it's been successful, it's, yes, it's in the Championship, but it's certainly had its periods of success. So, you know, it seems a very secure and settled club. You know, maybe that's just something that comes from having this sort of looking at the football world and then having this new entity and thinking, right, this is how we, you know, we'll avoid that and we'll concentrate on that.
Yes, you know, a lot of vast majority of football clubs tend to be 100, 125 years old now and are very much, I don't know, kind of anchored to the histories, the clubs that they were born as, you know, the in grounds that are still locked within housing estates and stuff like that. You know, the kind of having to be a modern football club in an old world environment almost. You know, this was a chance for Inverness to, you know, build a football club at league level, but knowing everything that's passed, you know, to be able to look at what's gone on for 100 or so years in football and say, well, no, actually, we start from a fresh perspective, you know, from 100 years of learned knowledge, basically, you know, of accumulated knowledge in Scottish football. And yes, you know, they were an amalgamation of two football clubs, but, you know, that's happened many a time. You know, you can look at a few teams that made the, you know, football in the English professional leagues. Dagenham and Redbridge were two non-league teams that came together. Rushton and Diamonds, although they don't exist anymore, were an amalgamation of two teams and made it a fair old distance before they had to backtrack. You know, can, you know, even if you want to take some kind of derogatory stance at the existence of Inverness, why you would, I don't know. But if you did want to do that, you know, how is a club, say, like Napoli, who went out of business, basically, any better than a club that comes together like Inverness, Caledonian Thistle did? You know, it just depends on what your perspective is and, you know, how you want to see things. You know, we spoke not so long ago when we were on with Devon Rawcliffe and, you know, talking about football in South Korea, you know, and how I'd been to Japan and seen a football club that was about 12 years old win promotion to the first division of the J-League. And, you know, having watched the supporters of the football club like that and what it meant to them and the vast majority of the supporters in that stadium being old enough to know when there wasn't a football club there, yet suddenly there is football for them to watch, and you know, what this club that wasn't there, that is now there, means to them. So, you know, yeah, it's for me, it's a no-brainer. You know, I've seen it at first hand. You know, I am, you know, be preached to young, I'm the converted. Yeah.
I know we went off topic, Lewis, but like I say, that it's a fascinating club that is one of the two clubs of this story. And so I've got to take the opportunity to ask the questions when the expert's in the room. So obviously, you know, we've got to talk about the route to the final. You've got to talk about Falkirk as well and their route to the final. But you know, as we said sort of at the beginning, and as Stephen said, definitely, you know, that sort of spectre of the Glasgow side just hang over every domestic competition in Scotland. And it's, you know, I suppose, it's, you know, can you avoid them? You know, can you avoid them as long as possible in your cup run? And, you know, those, and obviously for Inverness, you know, they do manage to avoid them until it's the semi-final. Falkirk avoid them completely. So it's, you know, that sort of, it's obviously not an easy run because, you know, you need a little bit of luck. You know, and Stephen's mentioned you can lose a cup competition in 20 minutes of poor play. So, you know, teams earn the right to be at finals. But in terms of those two teams, if you just sort of talk us through their respective journeys, if you like, to this game.
Yeah, I think what I'm about to say for the next 5 minutes or so is going to be very unpopular with Old Firm fans, but I don't really apologize.
That's all right, it's you that said it, Lewis, not me.
So this era of Scottish football in terms of the cup competitions, for me in my lifetime, has easily been the best. And I mean, part of the reason for that, and it's hard to avoid, was the fact that Rangers just weren't the side that they are now and were before. They obviously were demoted. We've obviously talked about that on the podcast in far more detail, the end of an era Rangers one. But so Rangers, so there isn't a full strength Rangers. So you're talking about that Old Firm dominance. One half of the Old Firm's already not there. So that's given clubs the opportunity. So St Johnstone won the cup, as I mentioned, the season before. Another finals in that is Dundee United. Obviously Dundee United are a big club, but in the modern era, not quite to the extent they were in the 80s, perhaps. And even if we look at the other competition, the Scottish League Cup, which isn't as reputable as a Scottish Cup, that season's previous finalist was Aberdeen, albeit Aberdeen are a big side, and it was us again. We were in that final, and we lost that final. And I think that's important to note, because that felt like our one chance then. We thought, we've lost it. We lost on penalties. It was, unlike this game, it's probably one of the worst games of football I've watched in a long time. It was such a turgid 0-0. And then we lost on penalties and I was devastated. I thought, that's it. We're not winning the cup, but that's fine. But then this season comes along and we somehow manage it. And our route to the final, for me, I think we had the tougher route to the final, but I would say that. I think that's fair though when you go through it. So we started off with St Mirren, who they were a Premiership side, but a bit of a lowly Premiership side. And they took us to a replay. And in that replay, we absolutely hammered them. It was 4-0 and it was comfortable, and we'd been playing good football for the whole season. John Hughes had just come in, and I think it's kind of understated how well we played that season. I think you mentioned it was a good cup final. We played some good football that whole season, and I think the most notable thing from that game for me was our standing captain that season, Graham Shinney, scored. A lot of people know Graham Shinney's obviously gone on to Aberdeen, Derby, and he's appeared for Scotland that awful game against Kazakhstan, which I don't want to talk about. But that's where most people know Graham Shinney. But I know him for what he did for us. And he'll forever be one of my favourite players for that. But then that gave us a quarterfinal tie against Partick Thistle. Again, another Premiership side. So we're facing equal sides, but again, slightly lower than us, and obviously not quite at the Celtic Aberdeen level. We beat them 2-1, so it wasn't quite as comfortable, but we did dominate the game. We were the better side, and I think we played much better than sort of 2-1 would suggest, which is kind of a theme coming into our early rounds of this cup run. And the last game, sort of before the big one against Celtic, was a quarterfinals against Championship Raith Rovers, which was probably our easiest tie of the round, no disrespect to them. But once again, I think we played much better than the 1-0 suggests. We scored from a header. It was Danny Devine, I believe. And we were comfortably the better side. So going into that semi-final, you never feel like the favourites against Celtic. You just can't. But we were playing good football and we kind of thought, if it's ever going to happen, it's going to happen now. So going into that semi-final, which is probably my second favourite ever game of football, and then the Scotland win last November is probably third, but this one's my second favorite ever. And before kind of get into it, I think for people who are unaware of this Celtic side, this is a Celtic side that had Virgil van Dijk, who is the best defender in the world. I think that can be understated that we put three goals past a side with Virgil van Dijk at the back. And also Jason Denier, who many will know from Lyon in Belgium. That was their starting, moving beyond that. They also had obviously the likes of Scott Brown and James Forrest, who are obviously stalwarts of that Celtic side. So I've kind of mentioned it. We had that infamous game against Celtic all those years ago, the year 2000, the Super Caligo Ballistic Celtic are atrocious. Kind of one of the main reasons John Barnes ended up losing his job. And most people would think that's the biggest scalp Inverness will ever have against Celtic. But that certainly wasn't to be, because we obviously start that game. Celtic absolutely dominated that game. And Virgil van Dijk, as I mentioned him, he scored an unbelievable free kick. It was absolutely fantastic. And it kind of feels like, oh, okay, Celtic are in cruise control here, because they were dominating. And then there's this moment, and this very moment is the reason that Celtic fans have such disdain for this game and will completely discredit us winning the Scottish Cup, because the ball gets swung in, Lee Griffiths goes for a header, and Josh Meekings, our centre-half, just completely handballs it off the line. And for some reason, I have no idea why, it doesn't get called. The linesman didn't see it for whatever reason. So we've just gotten away from that. Would have guaranteed 2-0 for Celtic. But no, Josh Meekins just handballed it off the line and we're fine. We go into halftime at 1-0. And obviously the Celtic fans are fuming about this. They are so angry. And it just gets worse for them, because second half, we managed to stay in the game, which I think is a credit in itself against Celtic. We go on the counter-attack and future Celtic player Ryan Christie plays a wonderful ball to Marley Watkins. Their keeper gets taken out. Takes out Marley Watkins. They then get a red card and we get a penalty and score it. And then as the game progresses, we take the lead. Celtic equalised for a blunder from our keeper. And then we obviously mentioned David Raven earlier on in the podcast, rather, and he scores the winner in the second half of added time, and I went ballistic. I've never been so happy as a football fan, because at that moment Celtic are down to 10 men, and it just feels like we've done it. Like, it can't be understated when Celtic equalised and made it 2-2. It kind of felt like, okay, they're down to 10 men, but Celtic, they'll see it out. And it was an absolute blunder from our keeper, who was our backup keeper, who was in either his last or his second last year. He was getting on, and it was only in that game due to an injury to our main keeper. But as I say, we get through to the final, and I was absolutely ecstatic. And sort of going on to Falkirk, so this isn't just an Inverness pod, as much as I'm making it one. We knew at that point that whoever won the Inverness Celtic game was going to be the favourite for the final, because that was an all Premiership tie. And the other one, the semi-final for them, was Falkirk, who were a Championship side at the time, and Hibernian, who were a Championship side at the time. So it was kind of going into the final, people thought whoever wins that Celtic-Inverness game, and everyone said Celtic would win the cup. But Falkirk, obviously credit where credit's due, they got to the cup final and they beat a few, they didn't actually play a Premiership side, which is why I say I think Inverness had an easier run. They beat Cowden Beef 1-0, who were in the Championship at the time, but got relegated and weren't all that good that season. They then beat League One Brechin City, who, again, a bit of a lower side compared to them, and they beat them fairly comfortably, as they did with Queen of the South. And I think their game, actually, their semi-final game against Hibs was a really good one as well. Jamie McDonald, who was their goalkeeper at the time, unlike the final perhaps, had put in a really good performance. And it was a magical moment for them as well, because it was their boyhood boy, Craig Sybil, who scored. So they've got that elation. We've got the elation of we've just beaten Celtic to get to the final. They've got the elation of we've gotten to the final. It's a boyhood hero who scored for us. So going in, the nostalgia and excitement for both clubs was immeasurable.
I'm going to come to you, Gary, on this one, because I've got another question that I'm not sure on how to ask it yet for Stephen. But in terms of, as Lewis mentioned, you have you know, sort of in cup runs and cup success, that the moments, the memory of moments seem more magnified than perhaps in a league title win. You know, I mean, you know, Lewis, you know, listening to Lewis chat there, and it's, you know, it can rattle off the scorers, the moments, the incidents there, you know, that, and yes, it's his team and all of those things that go with it. And I'm, you know, I'm sure you can do it, you know, with Chelsea's FA Cup victories, but there's something again about the cup that, even, yes, it's about the cup final and the moments in the cup final are important, but I assume, because I've never been part of it, but I assume that if you support a team that win a cup, the run is just as important as the final itself.
Yeah, and I guess because one of the reasons might be because to win a league title takes 38 games. It took four rounds for Inverness and for Kirkcaldy. It took five games because there was a replay for Inverness to get to the final. So it's sort of each game is more special because it means more. As well as you being on the sort of precipice of being eliminated, the steps to reach the glory are less. So it does, yeah, it does mean more. But you know, even within that, you know, I'll go back to a pod we recorded a while ago about the Chelsea Barcelona Champions League semi-final second leg, and to me that sticks in my mind more than the final against Bayern Munich. Probably because of the sheer ridiculousness of the game. You know, and I can understand, you know, why, you know, Lewis was celebrating. In fact, Inverness were going ballistic, he said, you know, after they beat Celtic. And why not? You know, you're almost, you know, you're in that sort of, it's almost, obviously, it doesn't matter what you do in the final, of course it does. But that great triumph, I suppose, is there's more glory in beating Celtic than there was in beating Falkirk, although beating Falkirk gets you to the, gets to picking the pot up at the end of the game.
Like you say, it's sometimes it can even be the, because sometimes finals can be awful, you know, awful games, and you know it can be games in the earlier rounds that are by far the more classic game within the cup run. So my question for you then, Stephen, although as a Liverpool fan, it's probably not going to be quite the same, but as a fan, when do you start to get excited about potentially winning the cup? When abouts in the competition does it sort of kick in? I mean, obviously for Lewis, it'll, you know, that if you draw Celtic, it kind of looms large. But if you can overcome that hurdle, or if you're like Falkirk, who know they're not going to draw them in the semi, you know, they've not drawn them in the semi-final, so that's that. But when do you start to get excited as a fan about potentially winning the major domestic cup competition?
I wouldn't put it down to a specific round at all. There is usually a point of epiphany. It'll be one specific win, and that could be the third round, the fourth round, the fifth round, or whatever it is. The last time Liverpool did it, 2006, we beat Man United at Anfield in, I think, the fifth round. And it was there that the rumblings really kicked in. And I can remember going to St Andrews to play Birmingham City in the quarterfinals. And there was just a kind of bounce to the away end that just made you feel like there's no way we're not going to win the cup here. And then we went and played Chelsea at Old Trafford. You know, we went in just fully confident we were going to win. The only time we weren't confident we were going to win that final was actually at the final, when West Ham kept on coming back at us. But yeah, I would say that certainly from my perspective, there is usually a point of genesis. There'll be a certain performance, a certain win. It might be a goal. You know, that win against Man United wasn't the prettiest one. I think Peter Crouch scored a bit of a header that went in off his ear or something like that. But it was just the way that it kind of landed. And you just start to get this kind of vague inkling that, yeah, this is the year and we're going to win this. So, yeah, I wouldn't put it down to a specific round. It's not a case of ignoring the competition or taking it for granted early in the tournament. You know, once you get to the quarterfinals, the semi-finals, I mean, I've sat and watched Liverpool in the semi-final against Wickham and being, you know, kind of not having that kind of like sense of jeopardy to it, even though it ended 2-1. You know, it was other games during the run to the final that made bigger impressions. And that's just the way cup competitions are. You know, there would be, you know, Lewis's description there of the semi-final. There's a phrase that is often used when a chat we've hired about football is that, you know, there's a de facto final or a de facto, you know, semi-final as such. You know, a semi-final can often be the final itself because the other side of the draw is that week that, you know, that, you know, intense semi-final is effectively the final. Cup competitions just have a very kind of fluctuating kind of feel to them. But yeah, it's usually one specific game against one specific opponent that will set the touch paper on the go.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. Obviously, having never spotted a team that's won a cup, that's fine. Just as long as I know what to look out for, that's all that matters. So obviously, you know, we come to the final, Lewis, and you know, you can talk us through the final. But I guess just touch on what Stephen mentioned there. Then, was there a sense of, you know, anyone can win a cup final? That's the beauty of knockout football, that, you know, and can happen. But going into that final, then, you know, and you mentioned that, you know, Falkirk are a Championship side. Was there, on the day of the game, was there an air of inevitability that Inverness would win this game?
I wouldn't say there was, actually, because as I say, we'd lost the final in the year before, but that was our first like foray at a cup final. And while we were the better side that season, we are very much, like, as you say, a young club. We'd never won silverware, so we didn't have that presumption that we'd win, because we'd never done it before. We didn't know how it felt like. We won championships, we've won challenge cups, but it's not the same as the Scottish Cup final. Like, that is the one. So there definitely wasn't that. And Falkirk, while they were in the Championship at the time, are, at least in my mind, a big Scottish club who'd appeared. They were a Premiership side for a long time and had appeared in Scottish Cup finals, ironically, under our manager during that final before. So it very much didn't feel like a formality. If we perhaps we're a club of a bit of a bigger stature than maybe, or we'd done it before, we had that history of it, then quite possibly. But I think because of the youth of our club and the inexperience that have never done it before, I don't think it did feel like a formality at all.
That's good then, because now when you talk us through the game, you can talk us through it with real jeopardy rather than with with that sense of, well, it was always going to be like that. Because like we said before, you know, it is a really, really good cup final.
Yeah, no, it really is. And I mean, it can't be understated the credit that goes to Falkirk, because you could definitely make the argument that over the 90 minutes, they quite possibly were the better side. They played absolutely fantastic. And I mean, I remember the start of the game. We started games with such an air of confidence throughout the season in the league because we were just playing so well. But that wasn't there against Falkirk, because Inverness, we're such a small club. And even though we'd been a good club for like playing really good football for quite a few seasons now, we didn't go into games as they're the favourites, like comfortable favourites. Maybe you'd put your money on us, but you wouldn't be like, oh, we never go in with that air of confidence of an Aberdeen or a Celtic. But having to go into that game as the ones who set the pace, which is what we often did in games, but it was expected of us this time. And I think that gave the game a bit of a different feel. And I don't think we started well at all, really. I thought Falkirk started the better side, as I mentioned. Will Volks, who people will know, he plays for Wales now. He's played in the English Championship with Cardiff. He was peppering our goal with, I think it was like three shots, and like one, it felt like one went in, and it, like, at one point it hit the side net, and it was very much Raheem Sterling Italy-esque. It was very much like that, and I was very worried because we were getting peppered at that point. But eventually we kind of get back into the game, playing the football we've been used to seeing that throughout the whole season. And we take the lead sort of just before halftime, when Aaron Doran, one of our winger, he plays a lovely ball through to Marley Watkins, who I mentioned Jamie McDonald earlier on. He takes the ball around Jamie McDonald and slots it into an empty net. And I mean, at this time, we get to halftime, it's 1-0, and it doesn't feel comfortable, but you're like, you've got a good feeling about the game. We're a bit more in control. We've got the goal. Feeling good. Then we get into the second half and we have a bit of a disaster. The ball, Greg Tansey goes to take a free kick at another one of our midfielders, and it hits off the wall and goes to the halfway line. And we've got two defenders there, one of them being Carl Tremarco, and you're like, oh, no problem. They'll just control possession, play the ball back out. We've got another attack. But no, Tremarco fumbles the ball under his feet and the ball slips behind him. Falkirk are through on goal. Blair Alston for Falkirk is through on goal. Tremarco takes him off, takes him out rather, and Tremarco sent off. So we now have most of the second half to play with 10 men, and we start defending for our lives. And at this point, you're like, oh no, this isn't good. But you think, it gets to sort of the 80th minute, and we're still in the game. There was a contentious potential handball from Ross Draper. I don't think it was personally, but I wouldn't, obviously, so that's fair. But then Boti Biabi, he comes off the bench for Falkirk, and he... it certainly didn't start for Falkirk, but when he came on, he was playing really well. And I was like, oh dear, this is not good. He goes on a dribble. He takes it around a few people on the edge of the box, sort of from the left-hand side of the box, and wins a free kick in the 80th minute, I believe it was. I can still remember when it was, an effort of him. It's just so vivid in my mind because the ball gets swung in by Blair Alston, ironically, who's got Tremarco sent off. And Peter Grant, who has been absolutely fantastic in the whole game, central defender for Falkirk, headers the ball in, he wheels off, celebrating, absolutely, he is ecstatic, and we are deflated. I am absolutely deflated at this point, because now, unlike the semi-final, we're down to 10 men, and they've just equalised. So I'm like, we've really gone through Celtic to lose here. And because the Aberdeen loss the year before felt like the final hurdle, but this really felt like, if we don't win this year, like, how many cup finals can Inverness get to, really? So as I mentioned, that's 1-1, and Falkirk keep playing well for the sort of remainder of the 90. They're piling on the pressure. We're just withstanding it. It's like we're almost playing for penalties because we're down to 10 men. But, and what is important to note sort of at this point is we do have a makeshift defence. As Gary mentioned, David Raven was out for the final, and our centre-half, Gary Warren, had got a yellow card against Celtic and was out for the final. We had a makeshift backline as was. Graham Shinney was a right back. But somehow the ball is cleared from a Falkirk attack on the counter. Marley Watkins, this is well past the 80th minute at this point. Marley Watkins surging through on goal. He should have passed it. He doesn't. He's greedy and he shoots himself. But Jamie McDonald, who I feel so sympathetic for, because I mentioned how good he was in the semi-final against Hibs for Falkirk. He fumbles the ball. He shouldn't have fumbled the ball. And James Vincent, our midfielder, comes roaring in and puts the tap in, and then that's us. We're 2-1 up, and we see the game out, and we've won the Scottish Cup, and it was unbelievable. And I mean, when Tremarco gets sent off and Peter Grant scores later on, it just didn't feel like it would happen. But when Vincent scores, it's a moment of elation that I don't think I've quite had in football since.
Oh, I feel bad for you. That it could take quite a while before another one comes, but you've got to look at it. At least you have had one. That's the important. That's what you've got to take from that. Gary, we've said all along it's a good game, but it actually has all those classic ingredients that you want from a cup final. It's kind of a David and Goliath. You know, they're in separate divisions. Both teams score, which I think is always important in a cup final. There's a sending off. You know, there's a great. You know, the first goal is a great. It's a great goal. It's a great finish. There's sort of not last minute winners, but it's the game is interesting up until the final minute, and it has drama in those final few minutes as well. It pretty much has everything you want from a cup final.
Yeah, it does. Whenever we're doing one of these pods about a game, and I don't know, I mean, it's difficult to boil down the score, but I don't know how the game sort of played out. I tried to avoid reading a report till after I watched it, and my heart bled for Tremarco. You know, as Lewis said, it was a nothing clearance, and there was two Inverness guys there. And when the ball sort of came down to him and he controlled it, there was no Falkirk player near. And then all of a sudden, the ball became like a bar of soap under his feet, and he slipped on him twice. And the poor lad. And you know, as the Falkirk player burst past him, all he could do was fetch him down, and he did. He, you know, took one for the team, as they say. But yeah, it was a cup final without everything. You know, there was an early goal, there was a late goal, there was a bit of controversy. I remember the incident where Volks' shot ripped into the side netting, and I thought it was a goal. Not knowing how the game panned out, and a whole chunk of fans at that stadium thought it was a goal as well, because there were cheers. Obviously, it must be the far side of the ground, so they couldn't tell. But yeah, it was a terrific game, and you know, I suppose if you want to win a trophy, you know, doing it in that dramatic fashion in the last couple of minutes of the game, and you know, McDonald, poor kid again, you know, the shot wasn't great. It was a bit of a scuffle along the deck, and you know, one of those where you think the goalkeeper's going to throw his cap on it. He probably hasn't got a cap on. So he just sort of parried it out, and Vincent said, "Thank you very much. Good morning," and put the ball in the back of the net. And Lewis was going frantic.
It's probably the winning goal. To be fair, I was a lot like Gary. I just wanted to watch it almost as is. So you know, no preconceptions. Didn't look at the score. I just wanted to watch the game. And it always, I don't know, that winning goal. you know, in sometimes in football, you know, they say a goal just comes from nowhere, and it does come from nowhere. But when that ball breaks, even on that on the halfway line, and you know, we've seen it again. You know, we talk about old cup finals from the grounds in the pitches in cup finals always seem to sap the energy, and you can feel as they're running with the ball, you know, as everybody's taking over the field, you can feel the heaviness in everybody's leg, and then the shot is so weak, and you think, yeah. That's just a heavy turf in the legs, but then when Vincent just comes from nowhere with just unbelievable amounts of energy, it's almost like he's either on a different level, playing a different game, has taken something that nobody else has. It, you know, everything in that goal screams heavy, cramp, cup final, energy sapping turf. Apart from the man who actually scores the winning goal.
That was the perfect man to fall to, wasn't it? You know, he'd come on as a sub, what, about 15 minutes earlier or so? You know, if you want the ball to land to, you know, whoever to knock that ball in the net, if there's, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 yards to reach a ball, you know, it's the man who's been on for 15 minutes and there he was. He was the perfectly positioned player. And yeah, you know, the way that ball breaks and then they make the run for it, it's the classic smash and grab. I think the fascinating thing about this game is that, you know, it's almost like, you know, I think it was Gary who mentioned David and Goliath kind of effect to it, but it was almost two Davids up against each other in this one. You know, Falkirk had the history to them. You know, even relatively recently, you know, they reached a Scottish Cup final, what, 2009. With John Hughes as the manager, who's the manager of Inverness in this one as well. But then Inverness are the top flight side. They finished third that season, you know, which is akin to finishing runner-up, really. You know, you take Celtic out of the equation, running away with the title. You know, it's an interesting league below, you know, your runaway winners. So, yeah, you know, they were the rampant favourites, but they didn't have any kind of history or recollection to draw on here, and this is what made it so compelling, you know, as it was. So yeah, for them to snatch this win, and it's that sense of an underdog being made to cope with being the favourites is a massive hurdle to get over. You know, if you are so used to being the underdog and then suddenly you're foisted upon you are the favourites to win this, is such a massive responsibility and psychological barrier to get over, which in a way made it fitting the way that they won it. You know, to be 1-0 up, to look like they were cruising at half-time, because yes, there was a nervous start, but then, you know, they take control of that, the rest of that first half. And then Falkirk come running straight back at them. Most of the chances are from distance. Falks hits, you know, quite a few from distance. But to have the man sent off, to be drawn level at 1-1, suddenly the underdogs again, you know, for the last 10 minutes of that cup final, you are suddenly the underdogs at one man down, level peg in, Falkirk at the side with momentum going. You know, in a way, what undid Falkirk there was that they didn't be that little bit more considerate at 1-1 and to say, well, look, you know, we have the man advantage here. You know, it doesn't matter if this game goes into extra time now. You know, that's you know, 45 minutes of having to carry, you know, one fewer player. You know, similar overtone to say something like the 1986 World Cup final where West Germany come back to 2-2 from being 2-0 down, but then push forward to seek the winner before 90 minutes. It's almost like a team will get carried away with coming back to level pegging. So it's got so many fascinating layers to this. You know, it's even down to kind of like the little bit of needle between the two clubs, because Falkirk had sent Inverness down in 2009 with John Hughes at the helm. I actually saw John Hughes play at Anfield 30 years ago, it'll be, 1919 FA Cup game. We beat Swansea, he played for Swansea. We beat them 8-0. You know, it's stuff like this. I just love those little common touches and the little nuances to stuff like that. But yeah, you know, the fact that, you know, Hughes had taken Falkirk to a cup final, he'd effectively sent Inverness down, then tipped up as manager of the club, took them to the Scottish Cup final and beat the team that he'd been in charge of when he'd sent them down 6 years earlier. It's just such a, you know, it's the type of thing that's thrown up in football that, you know, if you read it in a Roy of the Rovers comic or on something like Football's Wives or any of those kind of like really naff 1990s attempts at kind of like, you know, Dream Team and what was that other one that used to be on? There was another one with the Manageress and stuff like that. If it was on stuff like this, you'd just laugh it out of town. But, you know, this is kind of like, you know, football that has unfolded. And it actually happened, and it's just a wonderful thing.
I am going to ask all three of you, you know, as always, for your sort of your highlight. You can only pick one, Lewis. Gary will pick two because he always does. But you can only pick one, Lewis. But maybe you can pick two because it is so important to you. But just before we do, my last question for you, Lewis, because I can't ask these two guys it because they'll just say, well, which one? So when you win a cup and you're sort of that, you know, like you say, it's the first trophy and all that goes into it. What does it feel like afterwards? How does it feel?
It's a feeling of football that's just, it's just unlike anything else, because obviously I'm an Inverness fan and a Scotland fan, and we're two sides that don't have, particularly Scotland, don't have any high aspirations when it comes to football. So it's just like, genuinely for me, looking back, there's obviously the high of the moment and looking back, and it is still, I love watching that game back. It was an absolute joy to get to watch that game back for research. That is the pinnacle of football, really, for me. But there is also that slightly depressing afterthought of, I knew after that season, being an Inverness fan, it doesn't get better than that. Like, because as you mentioned, even like obviously the old firm, they have such a grasp on Scottish football. It can get as good as that. We could win another cup. We've been to the Scottish Cup semi-final when we were a championship side since, and that was unbelievable to be a part of. And we've won Challenge Cups since and stuff. And obviously there's still the highs in football, but it's never going to, as an Inverness fan, it never quite reaches that point again. I mean, obviously Gary and Stephen can't relate as Liverpool and Chelsea fans because
exactly,
the highs could be quite frequent.
Yeah. But which European Cup? I mean, what's that
exactly
about?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very confident that season, between the Scottish Cup and the fact we did so well in the league, and just the fact the football was so fun to watch. We were such a good side to watch that season. And I've kind of mentioned it, like Ryan Christie, Marley Watkins, Graham Shinney, they're some of my favourite players of all time for what they did for Inverness. And obviously watching a Ryan Christie, who's like a homegrown player, go and play for Celtic, like his dad's very much involved with our club, he's a club legend. He went to Celtic and never played a game and came back. And it was always a dream for Ryan Christie to go there and actually play. And he's like one of the most important players in that Celtic side now. So it's also watching what he did for our club and then watching players like that progress, even Graham Shinney out with that Scotland-Kazakhstan game, seeing him and how these players who've done so much for my club and given me like the happiest days of a football, like in my footballing life, watching them progress, there's a sense of satisfaction in that. Like I love seeing them progress. And I think that's sort of something you look at. I take joy in seeing Ryan Christie play well for Celtic, even though I don't particularly like Celtic. I don't particularly like the Old Firm, but there's a sense of satisfaction for me in seeing him do that, or seeing when Graham Shinney was at Aberdeen, seeing him play well for Aberdeen. And I think that's a real positive you can take, is seeing those players who've given you so much as a fan progress in their careers as well.
That's an incredibly magnanimous thing to say, I have to say. Obviously, the fact about how much you dislike Celtic and Rangers isn't going to help the number of listeners on this podcast, but that's okay. And we won't give your address out, so it'll all be all right.
No, no, no.
obviously, like I say, again, we're over the hour, and it's brilliant. And again, Gary, I am going to ask you for your favourite moments, so don't worry. But again, Gary, this one has been, it's had real heart, I think is probably the best way I can describe this episode. It's come straight from the heart and nowhere else.
Yeah, definitely. And as I said, you know, earlier, this is one of the reasons why I wanted a mixture of finals, because as I say, you know, a Champions League final to one club is just as big. And it sounds a bit trite to say, but it's true. It offers no more joy than a playoff final does to other fans. My wife always says the best game she ever saw was the playoff final that got Wolves promoted to the Premier League. And I say, you know, you're a big club now. You've got bit of trouble, which that's the best one she remembers, because it was the best one at the time. So, you know, no triumph belittles any other triumph. And, you know, the joy that Lewis clearly feels about this game ain't any less than, you know, triumphs that Stevie's club or my club or any other club who's won a fair few trophies has had. And why should it?
Exactly. Right, Lewis, I'll give you first pick. They are your team. Now, normally, the people who talk about the finals don't normally get first pick because they have to pick last. However, because this is your team and everything about it is yours, I feel like it's only right and proper that you get first pick of any your standout moment from this game.
I think my moment of the game actually comes afterwards, which I think trying to pick Gary and Stephen would be quite relieved of. Is that moment in terms of the Scottish Cup, the tradition it has, as you mentioned, it's the same cup. It's so grand, and I love the way there's the tradition of how the players walk up to get the trophy, and it's always the captain who takes it first. And that moment, watching, obviously it wasn't with the one hand, which Stephen will be disappointed about, but watching Graham Shinney, who was captain in the side at the time, lift the Scottish Cup was just, it was surreal. I couldn't believe it. And watching that moment now, I was watching it earlier on, as I mentioned, I was like research looking back on the game, and I generally still get goosebumps thinking of that moment, because it's just so surreal. And I still can't believe we did it. And watching that game after Tremarco gets sent off, and even the semi-final, it still feels so surreal to me that we had such adversity in those two times. We almost defied expectations to get there. And like, it all sort of culminates when Graham Shinney lifts the trophy, and it just felt like that's what it was all for. All those moments, like all the highs of the season we'd played. I think it really helps that the season we had was so amazing, because the Scottish Cup is like that really personified the moment of that amazing season we'd had. And it was just that immense feeling of pride, which obviously there's that raw emotion when Vincent scores, but I've had time to reflect on it before Shinney lifts the trophy up. And it's definitely that moment for me that will always stick out.
Brilliant. Gary, are you picking two or are you just going for one this time? Just the one, okay.
Just the one, yeah. Just the
one. You can go next then, Gary.
Okay. I was mentioned about the one-handed trophy lift. I had to be really careful because a few years ago, I think it was the Copa del Rey. It might have been the La Liga trophy. I think it was the Copa del Rey. And Real Madrid were doing the bus tour to the plaza in the central Madrid where they always celebrate the trophy wins. And Ramos was waving this trophy off the edge of the bus and dropped it.
Yeah. And the bus ran over it.
Yeah, the bus ran over it. So always be careful of one-handed trophy lifts. But you know, I hope Lewis will forgive me, but I'm going to go with Peter Grant's goal. Because as he scored and he wheels away, running towards the camera as it happens, and the joy on his face. And in that moment, he thinks, his team were playing against down to 10 men. I've just equalised, and now we're going to go on and win the cup. I mean, ultimately, that dream falls away. But in his joy, that's exactly what is going through his monarch. You can tell. So I'll go with that. I'll go with Peter Grant's goal.
Okay.
So, I just wanted to say as well, I think Peter Grant deserved to win that
really
day.
Well.
Because in the first half, there's the unbelievable... Aaron Doran's going through on goal for us just before half-time.
It was
an unbelievable tackle.
Yeah,
and then
was, yeah.
he obviously he scores the equaliser. And you just seen it like during the game. He's barking orders the whole time. And he was... Obviously... I think Marley Watkins was man of the match in the end, but I think Peter Grant had just as fair a shout for it. If he was like he was unbelievable that day.
Yeah. If the results had gone the other way, he would probably have got the man of the match.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's you know, Stephen, last call for you, for your highlight of this game.
For the comedy of it, it has to be Tremarco's error. You know, it sounds really cruel, but I'd never picked it had Inverness lost this game. You know, it is the fact that they go on to win it from this point of adversity, because it's just this unbelievable error and then compounded by bringing the Falkirk play down and suddenly it's this point of, you know, so it's the self-destruct button being hit, basically. And it's not completely down to the fact that what happens there, it's what it sets in motion, you know, from that to Falkirk's equaliser to Inverness getting the winner. You know, it's the way that it completely changes the complexion of the game. It probably pans out to a sedate 1-0 victory for Inverness. And in a way, it just helped make that final so much better and probably so much more memorable for Lewis and Inverness fans. Because I know from like the 89 Cup final, for instance, you know, John Aldridge scored after 4 minutes. We're on the brink of an unremarkable 1-0 victory, which, you know, unremarkable as in winning the cup, but you know, a formulaic 1-0 victory to win the cup final. To, you know, Stuart McCall rumbling an equaliser in the 90th minute, which in turn kind of like kicks off this whole different cup final that goes one way, then the other. Rush equaliser, you know, it scores at the start of extra time. McCall scores again, Rush scores again straight after. It's a completely different cup final that we look back on now to what we would have looked back on had it ended in that 1-0 victory. You know, so it's from that point of adversity that if a victory can be, I don't know, reclaimed from the jaws of disaster, you know, there's something all the more stunning about it.
It's funny. I mean, obviously, when you watch the game and it shows you, you know, the replay of the incident. And I purposefully watched it because I was thinking I'll chat about this tonight. And I purposefully watched it 3 times and I still don't know what he did. I can't work out what happens between the ball arriving at his feet after he's taken it down and the ball sort of 5 or 6 yards behind him. I can't figure out the foot movement.
Yeah, it's like there's something that's kind of like clicked in his head almost, yeah. as if he's decided what he wants to do with it before it's arrived to him, and then he's just kind of like momentarily taken his attention away, or he's remembered that he's left the gas on, or whatever it is. There's just some kind of aberration. It's like, whose birthday has he forgotten there? What's he's forgotten his anniversary, hasn't he? It's whatever that's just sprung to mind there. It's just a work of kind of like, you know, anti-art almost.
It is, because it's not a miscontrol where it's taken off his toes and he's late with the tackle. No, it has multiple seconds.
It does. It's like it gets jammed under his feet, kind of like around his legs, like a yappy little dog or something. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, that you can't quite get under control. It's an amazing piece of footage. And it's the fact that, you know, he's in there as well. You know, you wouldn't have played had David Raven not being injured. He'd have not be, you know, he hadn't played had there not been a suspension. You know, but within that, he played quite well. He got down the left and got some decent crosses in that first half. He was, you know, one of Inverness's most dangerous players in that first half. And then suddenly there's just this wild aberration.
In the second half, I know that.
it was from one extreme to the other, and it was just a remarkable piece of football and theatre.
Brilliant. I mean, obviously, we can't finish on that after Lewis's single most glorious football moment, like you say, with your defender treating the ball like a yappy dog. However, Lewis, it's been brilliant, as you know, as all these episodes have, and like Gary said, every final has its own characteristics, its own sort of almost its own fingerprint, you know, if you like, that makes them all unique. And you know, and this one, you know, like we said, you thought it'd be a bit left field for us, but these, Gary's right, these are why we do it, because you want to, you know, if you're really fans of football, you want to know about these games, you want to know about these stories, you know, you want to know and learn. And especially if you get to speak to someone who it means so much to, it brings it even more to life. And it's now a game that I'll always know who won, you know, the Scottish Cup final in 2015. That's it. It's nailed on for me now. It's something that's in there, and that's how it should be.
Yeah, and the only reason, I just wanted to add this, the only reason I can forgive Stephen for using the Tremarco moment is because it's kind of since gone full circle for Tremarco, and he's actually like one of our sort of club legends in terms of it's safe to say there's footage of the Inverness players celebrating later that night. They celebrated in Auchterarder afterwards, and he is celebrating the hardest. It's not even close. He's going absolutely ballistic. But he's kind of gone on to be, he was our club captain for a few seasons later. And I'm not comparing the Scottish Challenge Cup, which was called the Iron Brew Cup that season, to the Scottish Cup. But it kind of came full circle for him, because we were playing that, we were in the final of that, and he scored the winner, like deep into injury time. So it was kind of, that was like a real good feel good moment for us. But bringing it back, it's been, for me, it's definitely been the most self-indulgent podcast I've ever done. But I think it's genuinely been probably my favorite podcast to ever record, just because getting to look back at these moments. I know when I get to listen to other fans talk about their favorite moment, that's something I absolutely love to hear. So I hope people listening to it, even though it's Inverness, it's a bit of an obscure one. I'd be very surprised if we have a large Inverness basis listening to these Football Times podcasts.
I think we do.
Well, we will now, hopefully.
I will now. But
I'd like to hope that people listening to this have found the story as interesting as it really is, because it is a fascinating story, even out with being an Inverness fan or a Falkirk fan.
Trust me, if anybody who listens to this is a fan of football and not a football fan, because I think they're two different things, the minute they hear you speak, they'll know they're in for a good listen, because you can't fake that. Not for an hour or so. Gary, everything you wanted it to be?
Perfect. And when you hear the guests come on and say, you know, they had a great time on the podcast, that set it up a treat. And, you know, although it was a final that some people didn't know, and you know, we three feel free to admit that we didn't know much about it. As I say, that doesn't make it any less worthy. And it was damn decent damn football as well, which, you know,
it was a decent one. It was a great game.
Yeah, good choice, Lewis.
Stephen, enjoyed it?
Oh, an absolute joy. It's been an absolute baller. Like I say, you know, right, the passion that comes through of the topics as well is just wonderful to listen to.
And obviously going from, I don't want to say the sublime to the ridiculous, because we went to the 70 World Cup final, to the 2015 Scottish Cup final, and then I think we're at the 2005 Champions League final, Gary, next.
We are indeed. This is one I'm sure young Stephen will enjoy immensely. And we've got a guy from across the water coming on, one of our old friends, to talk to us about that amazing game.
Who won it again? What was that?
Was it Everton? Was Everton winning?
Everton into Milan, wasn't it?
Everton into Milan, yeah. That's
Yeah, it's a game of night to go.
Stay doing speech this back for a second, then. That's still known.
I'll have to sift through my old match tickets or something and see.
Oh, yeah, there you go, Steve. What's it like to win a trophy? Which one? Yeah. Like I say, guys, it's been. I always say it every time. I have the best job. I just get to ask questions and listen. And like I say, when you get people on who are so close to the game that you're talking about, or so close to the team, it makes it even better, because you can just ask any questions you want and the answers will come flying back. Like I say, next time it's the final one of the series, Gary.
It is indeed. It's been, we have one of these series, you thought, you know, I hope it works out well, and it's been great. Mainly because of the guests we've had on, the choices they've made, and, you know, Lewis's choice today has been right up there with the rest of them.
And that's it. And like I say, we've doubled our Inverness Caledonian Thistle membership of the These Football Times podcast in one fell episode. So that's not bad. And all that's left for me to say is, obviously, please join us again next time. Obviously, unless you're a Celtic or Rangers fan, but please join us again next time on the Lob podcast with These Football Times. Thank you and goodbye.
Many thanks for joining us today on the Lob, a These Football Times production. For more of our content, check out our award-winning print magazine featuring some of the game's foremost writers, artists, and photographers, exploring areas of the game rarely covered in high-end print. For now, we look forward to you joining us again soon.